Hey, Ryan, since you're not going to the game, where are you planning on watching the Wildcats?
I'll be stuck at the office, but I wish I could be lounging at home in front of my TV.
Yeah, me too. I've been thinking about getting like a big comfy recliner from Sam Levitt's Furniture.
Ooh, stylish.
Sam Levitt's Furniture has specials on a wide selection of recliners, so you can watch the game in style. You can check out a bunch of options at their Tucson locations. I'm thinking of getting one with swivel action.
Ooh.
But I kind of like the one I saw with cup holders.
Well, while Justin makes up his mind about which recliner he likes best, let's talk some sports.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Sir.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. It is episode 41. I'm Justin Spears. This is a new voice to the Wildcast Podcast, sports producer Dominic Pachaco. Dominic.
Guys, it's nice to be with you. Great to be here.
Yeah.
Justin, nice to finally join you on one of these things. Been waiting
to do this
for a while.
Let's get
to be on.
So, the entire Wildcast Podcast, this is episode 41. Name the most popular athlete with number 41. Can you think of him?
Most popular athlete with 41.
That has ever worn the number 41.
You're going to hit me with something here.
I'll give you a
really
hint.
Bother me.
He's got a mean fadeaway.
Who are you thinking of? 41.
And he's German.
Oh, Dirk? Dirk Nowitzki, 41.
Plays for the Dallas Mavericks. Dirk Nowitzki, best player ever to wear number 41. So anyways... That's kind of like what we like to do. We like to have fun here at the Wildcast Podcast. This is a different look than what our listeners are kind of used to. Now that it is officially basketball season, we're going to have our own basketball podcast. The Arizona Daily Star, we cover the Arizona basketball team from top to bottom. Every single ounce of news that you could possibly think of, we've produced it. And in next few minutes, or I should say... 5 or so minutes, we'll hear from Bruce Pascoe from the Arizona Daily Star, who's one of us.
Our in-house basketball almanac, if you will.
Yeah, seriously. Well, he's been covering the team since the early 2000s.
Yeah,
I mean, he's seen
it
all.
Yeah.
So, we'll be hearing from him. He's been traveling, doing a movie festival out there.
Yeah, it was
in
Napa. Yep. I think they had their first few days of their annual film festival. So. He'll be calling in from the airport, I believe, in the next few minutes. So it'll be nice to get Bruce on here. He'll be on here the rest of the year, rest of the season with us.
Yeah.
So hopefully we won't have to call in too many more times. Well, I guess he'll be on the road a lot. He'll probably be calling more than not, honestly. But, yeah, Bruce will be coming in from the Bay Area. And we'll get you some Brandon Williams news and some awards. And let's dive into some basketball. What's been going on this week, Justin?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, so... we're always talking about Arizona basketball. It's a big week this week. On Friday, November 10th, the Wildcats will have their first official home game against NAU. Expected to be another blowout once again. But we were sitting here talking about exhibition games off the record and kind of who we were looking at. And no shocker, because when we think of awards going into this season, we're going to think about, number one, the great upperclassmen mm-hmm. that Arizona has, or I should say the more experienced players mixed in with the cream of the crop freshmen. So Alonzo Trier named to the AP preseason All-American team. The first time an Arizona Wildcat has done that since 2003. Dom, what Wildcats were those?
It was 2000. It was the 2002-2003 year. So in 2000,
15 years.
Yeah, so 2002. It was actually Luke Walton and Jason Gardner.
Jason Gardner.
So, and that's pretty phenomenal when you think of how many Wildcats have came through here in the last 15 years. And Alonzo Trier is the first since Luke Walton and Jason Gardner to be named to the AP preseason All-American list. So that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. But I mean, but like we talked to Sean Miller the other day, and he was like, it's great and all, but we haven't had Alonzo for an entire season yet.
Mm-hmm.
And you're totally right, because you think about it, his first year. He had a hand injury, was out like a month.
Was it that long?
It was like three weeks or something like that.
Absolutely.
But he had a hand injury, and then last year, we all know what happened with him testing positive
Missed
for a performance-enhancing drugs, a drug that he took from a reliable friend that just did not know that the substance was on the ban list in NCAA. So I guess a little whoops situation for Lonzo Trier. But anyways, he missed 19 games.
Yep.
So now he comes into this season more seasoned, mm-hmm, more experienced, and looking to raise his NBA stock.
Well, and what's interesting with Lonzo Trier is that, I mean, you look at him last year, he came in halfway through the year, and he was still, by leaps and bounds, a better player than he was his freshman season with the Wildcats.
Oh, totally.
So now that he has a whole nother offseason, the Pac-12 play all last year to work and improve, has all offseason this year, and he's coming in with a brand new season, full year ahead of him. And I think, you know, barring any setbacks, it's going to be a huge year for Lonzo Trier. I think he, you know, more than warrants, you know, the Wildcats' first AP All-American watch list or preseason All-American.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's also, in more news with awards, today it came out when Naismith came out this morning, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
So our three Wildcats were named to the Naismith. It's the Player of the Year watch list that they released at the beginning of the year. And three Wildcats, as I mean, I'm sure you can predict who they are. You got Alonzo Trier, DeAndre Ayton, and I guess Raleigh Alkins was a bit of a curveball that got thrown in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because Raleigh is that guy where he's a role player. Usually, when you throw in Naismith National Player of the Year awards, these are guys that are alpha dogs, mm-hmm, guys that in late game situations you were going to rely on in games. For instance, last year, if they weren't giving the ball to Lauri Markkanen, who were they giving the ball to? Alonzo Trier. You never really heard Raleigh Alkins come up in that conversation, but
until probably around the NCAA tournament, when he started becoming, you know, household name a little bit more, and everyone got to know him. So, I mean, like you said, he's gonna have the ball in some big moments, and you know, when DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier are getting double teamed, Raleigh's gonna be the guy that they're kicking it to a lot.
Sure.
And the thing I guess that surprised me that he was on the list is he's gonna miss at least the first 8 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So out until at least probably around the end of December, hopefully, you know, for the Wildcats' sake, around Pac-12 play.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he's on the watch list, but so I mean, is it gonna be a realistic scenario at the end of the year for him to be competing for that National Player of the Year award? Probably not. But as you said, he's a key role player, probably one of the best few the Wildcats have on their team this year, and that's why he's on the list.
Well, and that's also another good point because usually right around once they really get into conference season, you're going to have the semifinalists, and mm-hmm, the list is going to get mm-hmm cut down. So what, is Raleigh Alkins going to play six games and have to really just go bonkers to make the list? It's probably not going to happen. So realistically, DeAndre Ayton, Alonzo Trier are probably going to be your Naismith Player of the Year award candidates in the end. So anyways, they got a big game this week against NAU. Dom, you were at the office watching the games. What do you kind of take away from the first exhibition games, even though playing against Eastern New Mexico and Chico State aren't really top-notch competition? But Chico State, they were pretty much the Arizona of Division II. They're a blue blood program in Division II. And last year they took the Wildcats. They only lost by 8 points at McHale Center, so they took it down to the wire. This year they ended up the Arizona beat Chico State by 28 points.
Right.
What do you think about the first two exhibition games?
Well, it's hard to get a real read from the Wildcats on these games. Obviously, you know, we try to look way too far into it because we've seen red-blue game and we've seen two exhibitions, you know, so that's what we have to go off of. And, you know, they look good. And I know, you know, they've dealt with injuries early on and, you know, discipline with who was Dylan Smith.
Yeah.
So they've had, you know, they haven't had, Schumiller hasn't had his full, you know, 12-man roster on the bench for him to work with and deal with. And even if, you know,
and the season hasn't even officially started.
Season hasn't even started. And I know Sean Miller said a lot in press conferences, which you were at, and you can probably speak to more. You know, he was saying that we build up going into every year how this is, you know, the most complete from top to bottom roster Sean Miller's ever had with depth. And, you know, he commented on it this year and said that, you know, it's deep until they lose a couple players, whether it's for discipline or injuries. You know, already lost a key player in Raleigh Alkins for the first half of the season. So it's hard to get a gauge on these on this Wildcats team through the exhibitions. But, man, when they're on the players who are on the floor and who are healthy and putting in minutes early in the season for the Wildcats already, they look good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Emmanuel Acott has been, I think, a huge a huge role player. I think he's his defense is going to be unparalleled down the road, and that's something Sean Miller's touched on, and they're going to need, to be quite honest, especially if he's coming off the bench once they're all healthy. You know, I think you've seen a lot of good things from Alex Barcelo right out of the gate, which is encouraging because, you know, everybody loves when Sean Miller has that point guard, and I think he could have one in his pocket with Alex Barcelo. So it's been interesting to see them get minutes and see how the teams kind of started to mesh and form together. I think Miller's touched on it too in press conferences. They're not as cohesive as I think he wants them to be.
Yeah.
Let's say, you know, 8 weeks from now or when Pac-12 play starts. Have you noticed that at all on the court?
Yeah, and it's the first two exhibition games.
Right.
So that's going to come. But there was a lot of times where you would see Alonzo Trier, he would take the ball and he would have it on the wing. And you would, I think it was Ira Lee, or it was one of those power forwards, either Ira Lee or Keanu Pinder. And it looked like they were going to cut to the basket. Alonzo was going to feed him.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up going the complete other way. And so Alonzo like let go of the ball and it ended up being a turnover.
Right.
So you'll see stuff like that in the next first few weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to hit their fifth gear probably until January.
Right.
Realistically. And that's just because Raleigh's not in. You don't have your full roster yet. Mm-hmm. Because once Raleigh gets back, he'll probably sit out one, maybe two games in the starting lineup.
Right.
And then he's going to get subbed right in. It's going to be exactly what happened with Lonzo Trier last year. He's out for the entire non-conference play. Once conference hits, he's going to maybe play two games out of the starting lineup, and then he's going to get back into it. And then that's when they find their flow. So it's a lot to look forward to. It should be interesting next couple of weeks. But I think it's time to get a break because we got to get Bruce on the phone. Because he's out there in the airport.
Trying to catch a plane right now. He's got other radio shows to be on, so we'll be lucky to have him.
So anyways, all right, we'll hear from Bruce in the Bay Area airport. I don't know exactly which one that he's at.
I don't know where he's flying through, if it's Oakland or San Francisco, but he'll be calling in.
Yeah, anyways. All right, well, thanks for listening. No, thank you.
Don't sign us off yet.
Don't sign us off. You better stay on because we got Bruce Pascoe coming on. Thanks for listening. But I signed off anyways. Just playing. We're not going anywhere. Bruce Pascoe, stick around.
Okay. From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
All right, welcome back to the Wildcast podcast. All right, so we already talked enough about Arizona basketball. I think we should bring up an expert who knows about Arizona basketball. This is the Arizona Daily Star basketball beat writer for the men's team, Bruce Pascoe. Bruce, we know you're traveling. We know you're out there in the airport. You're coming back from a film festival?
Yeah, my sister and husband run the Napa Valley Film Festival, and it's actually interesting this year because the whole community was engulfed in flames for a few weeks there, and they weren't even sure if they were going to happen, but they did, and it's pretty cool. So unfortunately, she always has it on the opening weekend of the college basketball season, so I usually don't get to go very much.
Okay, awesome.
Well, I can.
Well, we were talking about the Wildcats and their upcoming game against NAU, two exhibitions out of the way, but what did you initially take away just from watching the small sample that we got from Arizona?
Well, I think as Sean Miller said, they played a lot better in that second exhibition game, and that was against a lot better team. It was almost hard to tell that was a better team if you just looked at the stats and the score. But they really had things, mostly firing all cylinders, considering it was the preseason, and a lot of that had to do with Parker Jackson Cartwright being back and kind of running the show and keeping the ball moving, and a lot of assists, a lot of good team play out there, really, and they really are looking like the kind of team that we thought they are.
Yeah, and we talk about the freshmen, and of course, the first name that comes up is DeAndre Ayton, and a lot of people, even though he came in with a lot of hype, a lot of people are really kind of shocked to see him finally in uniform and in person for Arizona. But I would say the most surprising freshman to me has been Emmanuel Acott. Brandon Randolph has had a concussion injury, and then of course with Raleigh being out with a broken foot injury, it's really opened up the door for him. I really think he's taking advantage of the opportunity. What do you think about Acott?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think he's dripping with potential. I mean, this guy is, the NBA scouts already love him. He's 6'7", 6'8", can can do a little bit of everything, and defensively, and he has a lot of potential offensively. Can play different positions, can guard different positions. I mean, there's really, he's got maybe some work to do offensively, but heck, he's supposed to be a senior in high school right now. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you consider that. And then but all these guys are kind of in their own way. I mean, we haven't seen, Brandon Randall's been limited because of his concussion, but he's shown he's a pretty explosive, aggressive scorer. I think Alex Barcelo really, showed off. He's actually more athletic. We knew he was a hustler, but he's pretty athletic and not a bad, offensive player as well as being a point guard. So he's got a lot of upside, and maybe 2-3 years down the road, he could really develop into a standout for this team. And you got Ira Lee who, you'd think he might have a tough time getting minutes, but he's physically ready, can do some things. He's athletic. He's really tough. They love his motor, his high energy level. They've got a lot to like with these guys, really.
So, Bruce, a bit of basketball news off the court is four-star point guard recruit for the class of 2018, Brandon Williams. A couple of days ago, we were reporting that, and his dad, I know you've talked to his dad, and he was saying that Brandon was probably going to hold off to the spring signing period, but he said he was still 100% committed to the Cats. So then a day later, yesterday, Brandon Williams announced that he was signing not a national letter of intent, but he was signing kind of a financial deal with the Wildcats. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you've heard from Brandon's dad?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really the perfect kind of solution for him, and I think for Arizona, because he wants to come. He's committed. He just wants to have an out on the off chance something comes down, which is pretty much what everybody would expect. And although, frankly, if there were sanctions that came down before he signed or after he signed a letter, most likely they would let him out and it wouldn't be a problem. But this way, he's completely free. And at the same time, because he will sign papers tomorrow, Arizona can announce him and they can kind of make it look like, hey, we've got guys coming in excited about us. We're business as usual, even though it's not quite that, but it's a little step towards saying that at least. A lot of people have asked, well, if that's the case, why doesn't everybody sign these papers? Because they're not binding. But the fact is that a lot of coaches really press for the binding letters of intent, and usually they'll tell players that, hey, if you don't sign one, we can't reserve you a scholarship for sure. And so players kind of feel pressured into signing that commitment. But in this case, I think Sean Miller he's given his word that he's going to keep a spot. He wants this guy to go ahead and do it this way. So that's what they agreed on.
And Bruce, do you think it's kind of weird that Sharif O'Neal, he said that he's not going to sign until the spring signing period? It kind of felt like initially Sharif was going to be the guy that would sign first as opposed to Brandon Williams. Where do you kind of evaluate this whole situation?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they both said things. I've heard things about both players. They both are coming unless Sean Miller is out for one reason or another. I mean, I think, although it's possible if Sean Miller's still there and they're not allowed to go to the postseason next season, maybe they wouldn't come. That could be the only thing I would think. But, I don't think it really, honestly, even though there's a lot of talk about it, I really don't think it matters because, first of all, nobody knows what's going to happen, and so therefore, and these players don't know what's going to happen. They don't know if they're going to show up. Even if they sign a letter, like I said, even if they signed a binding letter and sanctions came down, they would probably get out and they wouldn't come here anyway. If they signed a non-binding letter, they still might not come. If it doesn't matter, if they don't sign anything, they still might not come, or they might come. I mean, there's just really, we're not going to know anything about next year's team until May, and there may still be the possibility of the NCAA doing something after that, but at least by May or so, or maybe even June, you'll know who's gonna show up. And really, so that's really what I'm looking at. I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference what happens this week.
Okay. All right, Bruce. Well, I know you got a lot of traveling to do and a lot of other radio shows to attend to, so we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and safe travels.
Good stuff. Thanks, Justin.
Awesome.
Take care, man.
No problem. All right. Well, Dom, let's take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk about the state of the Pac-12. Joe Lunardi released his early bracketology,
earliest
and not wasn't as many Pac-12 teams as I expected it to be. And plus, there's Pac-12 is going bonkers right now. Absolutely. Pac-12 is crazy right now. So anyways, stick around. We'll be right back.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, it's the Wildcast.
All right, guys, welcome back. Special thanks to Bruce Pasco, beat writer for the Daily Star. Always dropping some knowledge. Always dropping some knowledge.
He brought it out.
Anyways, how to bring out the hip-hop horn. So anyways.
Won't be the last time you hear that.
No, definitely will not be the last time you hear it. I'm going to sign off with it every single time. So we talked about Arizona basketball for like the first like 15 minutes of this podcast. It's enough Arizona basketball talk. Joe Lunardi from ESPN released his bracketology, and he releases probably about a dozen of them every year, I would say, throughout the season.
More than that. He changes. Gets updated every week.
Every week? Okay. Yeah. So many weeks, multiple weeks. You'll get 30 brackets every week from Joe Lunardi himself. Right? But, it's a way too early bracket. Of course, you know, the top 25 is released, so we kind of have a gauge of where teams will be. But Dom, you and I both know there's a lot of teams that have been ranked before that still don't even make the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
it's all preliminary. I mean, it's like those two exhibition games Wildcast just played. You can't read too much into them, but they're fun to look at, and it gives you a little bit of an idea of what's coming up. We'll bring Arizona back into the mix a little bit here. So they're one seed in the West is what Joe Lunardi has them now. Not really a surprise there. I think what the Wildcats have struggled in the past couple of years, but their big worry has been at least, is you know whether or not they're staying out West. So Lunardi has them in the West as one seed. If they get the one seed, they're going to be in the West.
In San Diego.
San Diego. They might not be happy about that, but you know, Sean Miller have them ready. So, but what's interesting is looking at these brackets, they're just kind of fun to look at and look at matchups, you know, what the Wildcats could have. Second round, he's got... who other than the number 9 seed Wisconsin Badgers, who would play Arizona with a win over number 8 Texas, who also has some history with Arizona in the tournament, going back to 2011 with Derek Williams in the Wildcats Elite 8 run, the year they beat Duke. So
imagine Wisconsin Arizona in the
second round.
I call the cool 32. That's the round.
Round of 32. Okay. Wildcats are. Sean Miller and his boys are very happy that this is a very, very, very early bracketology for Joe Lunardi because they do not want to see Wisconsin in the second round. That would be just killer for Arizona.
Arizona would be that team that gets bounced by a number 9 seed, and of all 9 seeds, it's happened to Wisconsin.
Who else? But that's another thing. Yeah, they're having fun. I'm sure Joe Lunardi thought about that when he was putting Wisconsin as the number 9 in the West bracket of all brackets with Arizona as the number 1. So they're all fun and games to look at. But Arizona number 1. Justin, you want to walk us through a couple of the other brackets?
Yeah, so in his Midwest region, he has the USC Trojans. My dark horse for the Pac-12, I would say if there's any team that has a good chance of beating Arizona, it would be USC. However, it's got to be in Tucson, which is very tough to do. But USC, a dark horse. Joe Lunardi has them as a 3 seed in the Midwest. And in the same bracket, he also has Oregon as an 8 seed. Don, you said you were surprised.
At Oregon being an 8?
Yeah.
I know they're going to take a step back, but I think they're going to be competitive because, I mean, it's the Pac-12, and I think you're going to have teams like Arizona, USC. I think UCLA is going to win some games. And I think Oregon's going to be competitive. I think Dana Altman, you know, he's had less talented rosters in the past, and he always finds a way to make them competitive and win some games. So if they can come in, maybe steal Arizona go there this year?
Oh, they do go to Oregon.
So, I mean, there's a win that, you know, they could steal. And I'm not saying that they're going to be a favorite to beat Arizona. Arizona's going to be, you know, a huge favorite to go into Eugene and beat Oregon. But it's games like that where they have potential to knock off, you know, a few good teams and sneak in there. I'm not saying they're going to be a 2-3-4 seed, but I mean, I think they're better than a mid-major in the NCAA tournament.
Sure, absolutely. I get it, but it's losing, the fact that you're losing the Pac-12 player of the year and Dylan Brooks, You're losing Chris Boucher. You're losing Dylan Ennis. You're losing Casey Benson, who decided to transfer to GCU. You're also losing Tyler Dorsey. You know, so essentially, Oregon, they lost pretty much all the rotational players.
Right.
So, okay, Peyton Pritchard's still there. They got a great.
And you know what you're going to get.
I think it's Troy Brown. Troy Brown, their five star shooting guard that they got. So, yeah, they do have talent, which is why I agree they deserve to be an eight seed. Anyways, moving on to the East. UCLA was listed as a six seed in the East, which kind of surprising because. I thought UCLA would be a team that could also challenge Arizona.
Absolutely, and I think they're one of the teams. You know, I think you look at the top of the Pac-12 this year. You have Arizona, USC, obviously leading the way. And who else would you throw in there? I think UCLA is one of those teams that's going to be competitive.
I think UCLA could steal a road game at Arizona.
You're just trying. Why'd you laugh?
I didn't even mean it to be punny.
Oh boy!
Oh, LiAngelo Ball.
UCLA coming into Tucson and knocking them off.
Man, that's gonna be interesting.
LiAngelo Ball gonna be here? Is what we gotta talk about.
He's a big baller. Of course, he's gonna be here. that was an interesting situation.
Well, you hear he's on because I know you and I were talking about it. I thought he was still held up in Chinese prison over there. Apparently, he's on essentially house arrest in his hotel.
Yeah.
So he just can't leave. He can stay there. He can move around, go down to the lobby if he wants to.
Get a workout.
But, yeah, do his thing, but. He can't leave the hotel, so who knows when that's gonna unfold. I don't know.
Talk about great house arrest. I'd be ordering room service all day.
Man, it's got a maid, right?
It's a vacation. So, anyways, yep, that's essentially the Pac-12 as a whole. But what about the team up north, Arizona State Sun Devils?
Got a big landed, big recruit.
Early signing period, the fall signing period for basketball mm-hmm. recruits. They got on ESPN. He's listed as a 5-star player on 24/7 Sports. He's listed as a 4-star player. I don't know which one to agree with. But let's give ASU the benefit of the doubt. He is a 5-star recruit. He would be the highest ranked recruit ASU has gotten since James Harden.
Absolutely.
Which is incredible. And he plays the same position. He's a shooting guard. His name is Dort Legentz. I believe I'm saying that right.
Canadian, correct.
Yeah, he's a Canadian fellow. I've seen some of his tape. He's not James Harden like,
right?
But he's a damn good player. And Bobby Hurley is kind of taking this program. He hasn't changed it overnight. Arizona State, they're still going to be bad. They're probably not going to make the tournament this year, but. Man, give Bobby Hurley a couple more years. He might have something cooking up in Tempe.
Well, and that's the thing is guys like I don't want to butcher his name. How'd you pronounce it?
Oh, Dort Legentz.
Legentz. So I mean, bring guys like Legentz in. I'm just dishing that off on you.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's all a blame if we have it wrong. you bring guys like him into the mix, and you're going to start getting people to look at your program a little bit more. And I think that's what Bobby Hurley's all about. That's what he's trying to accomplish up there, and. Right now, I say he's doing a good job. He hasn't come in and taken this program from what it was, not even an NIT team to a tournament team right away, but he's given them a chance, and he's going to start drawing eyes, he's going to start bringing in those bigger names, and that's going to make him competitive at the very least, So instead of 25, 30-point games with Arizona at home, they're going to start laying into him a little bit more, and those games are going to start being competitive, and if they start competing with Arizona more and more, that's going to attract more people. So it's kind of a domino effect when you bring in these big recruits and you're kind of trying to build up to that. So this year, don't expect ASU to win a lot of games. Don't expect them to compete with Arizona at home or away. And in the future, maybe next year, they'll be competitive, maybe not make it. But in the next few years, I think you're going to see ASU start winning games. And they'll start getting looks in the NCAA tournament. Who knows what comes from that.
And you guess who's not on FBI investigation?
ASU. Bobby Hurley,
hey,
ASU.
Hey, people give Bobby Hurley a lot of grief. That man's doing it right.
If weather in Tucson's a big selling point for a lot of recruits. They always talk about it when they come down their official visit. So if they love it that much and they come down here, know that Arizona's on probation or whatever falls out from this FBI investigation, whether it's recruits or tournament time, maybe they like the weather enough to go up to Bobby Hurley and ASU.
Oh, man. Imagine a guy like DeAndre Ayton playing up at ASU.
That'd be scary.
Let that sit in, Arizona fans. That could be you someday. Anyways, so yeah, I think that should be a good stopping point. What are you looking forward to most in the game against NAU?
It'll be interesting to, you know, see everything start coming together. You know, we've seen these two exhibitions that we've talked about, and we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to see against NAU, but it'll be fun to watch it all play out. You know, DeAndre Ayton, the more we watch him, the more exciting he's going to be. You know, meaningful minutes now. I think that's a big thing for the Wildcats. How are they going to respond to meaningful minutes, the adversity of, you know, the very long season that starts Friday at home against NAU?
Yeah, it should be interesting. We don't know if Brandon Randolph, who was out in the second exhibition game for concussion symptoms, Sean Miller said that they're not rushing him to get back on the court. I'm assuming he's probably going to sit this one out once again. You probably won't see Brandon Randolph until their game against Maryland Baltimore County, which I can't believe that is an actual school. I actually did not think it was a school until I put together Baltimore the schedule County. For the basketball guide. So anyways, yeah, it should be interesting to see how they mix around the lineup without a couple players out there like Raleigh and Brandon Randolph. Mm-hmm. You could probably expect to see Ira Lee, who's a guy that is used to playing the power forward / small ball center. Sean Miller's talked about his versatility. He might play a little bit of three. And then, of course, you have Emmanuel Acott, who I think is actually going to be on the Pac-12 all-freshman team. I think he might have that kind of season. I'm serious.
And I think it's going to be exciting for, you know, people like you and I to watch Emmanuel Acott get some more minutes, you know, in the absence of guys like Brandon Randolph. So I think that's a great point you bring up, is you get to see some of these players who are going to maybe take, you know, their minutes are going to take a hit once guys like Raleigh Hawkins are back. Yeah. Well, I don't even want to say a backseat, because they're going to get minutes and they're going to come on and be their second unit. I mean, Arizona's healthy this year. With how deep they are, when everyone's there, they're going to have two pretty good, essentially starting fives that they can throw out at a court at once. So I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of minutes coming here and there. But when everything's all said and done, you're going to have, you know, a solid 6-7-man rotation that Sean Miller usually sticks with and goes to at the end of the year. But now is the time for those minutes to be won over. So Emmanuel Acott's going to get a lot of minutes. If he comes in and lives up to that defensive hype that Sean Miller's given him and that we kind of expect to see, he's going to steal a few minutes. And I think when Raleigh Hawkins comes back, guys like him, you know, he could benefit from these minutes and you know, we can see him more on the floor.
Okay. I like it.
But, you know, again,
it's early
in the season. They're, you know, they're a bunch of 18-year-old freshmen. So, you know, we're probably reading too much into it, but it's early in the season. What else are we going to do, right?
Yep, absolutely.
It's fun to talk about.
So, anyways, I think that's a good stopping point. We talked enough about Arizona basketball. We're going to talk a lot about it this year. Don't forget to subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on the Wildcaster app. Download that Wildcaster app. It is free. It's got every single article that we put out. Everything from podcasts. We got some video work on there. We got all of our articles. Like, you name it, it's going to be on there.
You got your own podcast tab up on the top. You know, we try to make it easy for you. We're trying to streamline these things so you can listen to them every morning, every night before you go to bed. We're trying to bring you everything Arizona Wildcats for the rest of the year. So take advantage of it. We promise you won't be disappointed.
Or what you can do is you can download that Wildcaster app. You can read an article. And you can go into Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. So you can literally listen to us while reading some of Bruce Pascoe's fine work. You get,
if you can't get enough, right?
Yeah. Arizona basketball coming at you. Never stops, man. So anyways, that is the first episode of our Arizona kind of basketball-heavy podcast. That's Dominic Pachaco. I'm Justin Spears. Thank you, Bruce Pascoe, for joining us. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
That's never going to get old.